Hi, morning. Let's I think we're supposed to watch the video first. So let's do that and then let's continue.
Today we're listening to Luke 5. And as we listen to Luke 5, we're going to hear a story of a paralytic who is healed. That story took on really great meaning to me when I was in India. I was following these women around who we call Bible women. Mostly they're illiterate, but they've been given an audio Bible or proclaimer. And they go hut by hut in the slums or in the villages, playing the audio Bible until they find what they call the woman of peace. This is a woman, a Hindu or Muslim, who says, "I love this. I'd like to hear more." They just lay down on a mat, put up a piece of cloth, create some shade, and they gather women. In one of these groups, I met a woman who was a Muslim. She had been damaged or crushed in a logging accident. She loaded logs from an ox cart onto a railroad car. They had rolled over her. She had been taken to a clinic, but they told her that she would never walk again. She had no money, and so they won't really do much for you. They told the husband if she lives, she won't walk. And so she was laying on the mat thinking of suicide when the women in the group invited her. And as she lay day after day, they'd pick her up on her mat, bring her over, and lay her before the Word of God, she began to believe that Jesus was real God. And as she got to this story where Jesus is preaching and teaching, and people can't get to him. And so they bring a paralytic, they rip the roofing tile off. And as they do, she entered the story, and she began to cry out to Jesus to forgive her for her pride and her sin. And as she did, she was let down in front of Jesus with that paralytic. And when Jesus told her, "Your sins are forgiven, get up and walk," she jumped up, rolled up her mat, and walked. She had been healed. So it's amazing how they enter the story. And I hope you will continue to enter the story as you listen to the scriptures over this coming 36 days.
Amen. I'll read the passages today. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 39. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the mist before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." After this he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And they said to him, "The disciples of John fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink." And Jesus said to them, "Can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." He also told them a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. But no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins, and no one after drinking old wine desires new, for he says, 'The old is good.'" Acts chapter 6, 1 to 15. Now in those days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up the preaching of the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit and the wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." What they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase. The number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and those from Sicilia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. And they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against his holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Amen. Today's devotion. In the Gospels, it has been said that Jesus was either on his way to a meal, eating a meal, or coming from a meal. In this passage, we get a great look at this, at the kind of table fellowship Jesus shared. It wasn't with the people you might expect. Levi, a tax collector recently called to follow Jesus, throws a huge banquet to celebrate and invites all his mates. The religious people, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, take offense that Jesus, a purported rabbi, would spend time with such lowly people like tax collectors and sinners. Jesus' response must be heard by all of us during this Lenten period. "I have not come for the healthy, but the sick." Have a think about the kinds of people you associate yourself with. Do you have good relationships with those that need to hear the good news of Jesus? If not, perhaps God might be calling you to open up your table just a bit wider in the lead up to Easter. For the prayer section, let's read it together in one voice. Father, we pray for those trapped as sex workers. Let your church reach out and share love, not condemnation. We pray for organizations like STOP and Sons and Daughters who reach out to them. May they show them your love. Amen. So I was reading Luke and I was asking and kind of thinking about what to share. And this is a very well-known story of the friends who bring this paralytic and brings him down the roof, into the mist before Jesus. And I've read this story many times, probably from childhood. But have you ever wondered, like, how they came to this decision? So you bring this friend who cannot walk to find Jesus. So no car, right? So they have no car. I mean, they maybe probably walked or whatever. They walked however long distance they bring this paralyzed man, this friend. And then they eventually come to where Jesus is teaching, and then they realize, oh no, we cannot get in. So it's not just full, probably chances are the whole house and everything was surrounded by people and there is just no way to go in. So what do you do in a situation like that? I mean, I don't know, like I probably would have waited, outside, okay, maybe I'll catch Jesus when he comes back, because what else can we do? But then I'm just imagining, right? I mean, I don't really know why, but I just think maybe there are a lot of people, just too many people that they weren't even sure if Jesus, you know, like finished teaching and then he was coming out, maybe too late, or maybe there are just too many people waiting to be healed and they thought, you know, we may not get the chance. I don't know. But, and I don't even know how they came up with an idea of bring someone down through the roof. I mean, I don't know. Was it a common practice back in those days? I don't think so, you know. But again, I don't have enough knowledge. But somehow, probably like some dude said, hey, why not? We can do this. Let's bring him up the roof. And then I just can imagine people thinking, like the other friends thinking, what? And then they eventually agree, okay, it's worth it. It's worth it. And then they, and how do you do that? You know, like, I mean, let's imagine four people, one guy can't walk, and then how, I don't know how tall the, you know, house is. I really would like to find out more of these details. Then so you have to pull the guy up, and then you have destroy someone else's house. What's the consequence of that? And then, you know, bring this person down. And then, you know, it's not like you can just drop him off. So you have to make it big enough hole, right? Big enough hole. And then probably four ropes. And you have to, you know, bring him down gently so that he won't, like, you know what I mean? Fall off. That's a lot of effort, isn't it? I mean, that's creativity. That's perseverance. That's a lot of inconvenience, a lot of effort, doing things never done before, risking the consequences of, you know, of the homeowner and from the homeowner and putting him down before Jesus. And then Jesus says, you know, man, what does it say here? Man, your sins are forgiven you. But it says, and when they saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. And, you know, this part is, you know, shared in other parts. I think all the Gospels or something like that, I think. Actually, Matthew, Mark, John, Luke. Jesus says he saw their faith, you know. And I don't know if that includes the paralyzed man or not, because he came. I don't know. But definitely it was those people who brought him, you know, to Jesus. And then I started thinking, you know, so that much effort, you know, and so these guys are already, you know, loving this person and trying to help this friend, and but they really had to go the distance. They had to go, you know, beyond what is expected, and they had to really go, you know, and had to sacrifice and things like that. But you know, so then how much is important? Like, how much should we persevere in a situation like that? You know, even for our friends and things like that, and we help out, and, you know, but whatever it is, I really believe, you know, if we do it out of our convenience, it's not enough, you know? Like, if we just, oh, you know, if I have time, I'll pray. Oh, yeah, if I have time, I'll go visit. You know, if I have time, I'll do this, I'll do that. I really believe that's not enough, you know? And we really have to go out of our way, and we have to sacrifice and pay the price, you know, for the ones we love and things like that. But again, the question is, how much sacrifice? You know, how much is enough? Like, if I don't know, right, pray every day, is that enough? You know, like, and then how long? Is 1 year enough, you know, in our context? And I was just thinking and ask, you know, kind of praying and things like that. I just felt really, I feel like I had this revelation, and that is, how much is enough? How long is enough? Is until we encounter Jesus, you know? Like, none of these things would have mattered, even if they brought up the person and then, you know, brought him down the roof, but it was a wrong house or something like that, or, you know, like, do all these things and do even more crazier things, you know? I don't know. But if that person didn't encounter Jesus, would have been a moot point. Wouldn't have made the Bible. It was only, and if they, I don't know, did all these things and even went greater length, but if it didn't lead to encountering Jesus, then it would have been insufficient. In Matthew, where this story is shared, and that is Matthew chapter 9, is a very interesting chapter. It talks about all the different sicknesses, different kind of illnesses, and how Jesus heals different kinds of sicknesses from different like causes and things like that. Very interesting verse. So it talks about that same story of the paralytic man. And then there are other stories in the same chapter about the Bible, about healing. And there is a woman, you know, who had the blood issue, you know. And then basically she had to, you know, come through the, you know, crowd. You probably know that was illegal against the Jewish law because she was unclean and she could have been stoned. But she risked all that and then came through the crowd and then touched Jesus', you know, cloak. And then she was healed. And there's another story of the two blind men, you know, who hear about Jesus and he goes, "Have mercy on us, Son of David. Have mercy on us, Son of David," really loudly. And then people come to them and say, "Hey, be quiet. What are you doing?" And then they go, instead of, "Oh, sorry," they go even more loudly, you know, "Son of David, have mercy on us. Son of David, have mercy on us." And in both stories, they get healed. But I was drawing from these stories, same topic that, you know, how many times of shouting, how many times of calling out to Jesus is enough? You know, 10 times? You know, a month? A year? 1 week? None of those things matter. How much is enough? Until Jesus hears. How much is enough? Until we encounter Jesus. Even this woman with the blood issue, flowing issue, you know, she could have gone through all the crowd and say, and Jesus is right there and go, "Oh man, this is really hard. Like too many people are pushing and people are probably realizing who I am. They know my issue. Oh, I'm going to get stoned. Oh shoot, I better go home." And she tried, let's say, you know, she tried really hard and then didn't touch Jesus. I don't know. She probably wouldn't have been healed then. So just today, this morning, I just want to share about perseverance. Again, you know, perseverance is not we done certain amount of time that we haven't done before, or this sounds pretty good, you know, I persevered enough and no breakthrough, so, oh well, you know, how come God doesn't come through, he's not faithful, you know, or whatever. But really, perseverance is not really true perseverance, or maybe I should say perseverance really bears no fruit if we stop until we need to persevere, you know what I mean, right? And if we stop too early, when is too early? That is really before encountering Jesus, you know? And it's a challenging message, and it's difficult. And, you know, for those of us that have persevered and endured and called after God for a long time, many months, many years, even decades, you know, it's not easy. It's very difficult. But I just hope that it is an encouragement, a challenge to all of us that as we persevere according to the will of God, there is the Lord at the end of our perseverance. There is Jesus at the end of our perseverance as we persevere according to the will of God. And healing is will of God and other things that God has spoken to us in our lives. Let's not lose heart too early after having persevered for a while. But let's press on until we encounter Jesus. However long that it takes, however long it may take, for it is worth it. Because at the end of our perseverance, at the end of our prayer, and I don't know why it takes so long sometimes, and no one knows, only God knows, but we know he's good, we know he's faithful, we know he's a living God who answers our prayers, then let's persevere until the end. that we encounter Jesus, because then we will see glory. Marcus will lead worship for us, and then we'll continue to pray.
Soul undeserving, God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Behold the cross, and age to age, and hour by hour, the dead are raised, the sinner saved, the work of your power. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. God, so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am, I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name. I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name. highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name. And should this life bring suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever. God, so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. God, you're so God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
And none of these perseverances, none of these acts of faith would have been possible if they didn't know that God is good. They didn't know that God is faithful and His heart is good for us. And that if we will just encounter Jesus, then He will heal us. That He will not turn us away. And that's how they were able to persevere. That's how they were able to, you know, do all these things. And that was considered faith. And even this morning, you know, let's pray and let's ask God to reveal to us, you know, areas where we need perseverance or greater perseverance. And let's ask God for, you know, help that we will be able to persevere as long as God calls us to, until we encounter God, until we encounter Jesus, until we see His glory. Let's really ask God for faith and expectation that He will answer, that this perseverance is not in vain, but that we will encounter God. So let's just pray. Let's ask God to reveal those things to us, and let's pray. And let's turn to our prayer focus. And as we pray, you know, for our friends, you know, for our friends and loved ones and our people today, you know, let's really pray, you know, with the heart, same heart as the friends who really, you know, brought the paralyzed man, you know, to Jesus, inconveniencing ourselves. And they were not praying casually. That's one thing. They were not doing this casually. You know, if they, that was not the heart, and they really cared, and then they were willing to do everything that it takes for that healing. And let's pray with the same heart, you know, like it matters. And let's really intercede, you know, as we continue to pray and persevere, you know, for our friends. So let's pray. Let's take some time to really pray and cry out to God. Oh, Father God, we thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we And let's pray for the healing and salvation of our friends, our loved ones that need physical healing, but also, more importantly, salvation for the eternal lives. And let's pray for others with various other infirmities. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for those that are looking for jobs, next move. Let's pray for Dan and Bonnie. Let's pray. And let's continue to pray for the Saturday focus. Let's pray for the mission focus. Let's pray for the North. Let's pray for open doors for ministry. And let's pray for mission opportunities and partnerships in Asia. As, also remember today, this morning, persecuted churches, especially in the Middle East. Let's pray. Go on that. Let's pray for the weekend gatherings. Let's pray for Alpha. It's going to happen later today. Premier Counseling, GIC, Prison Outreach, Drug Rehab, Migrant Workers Outreach, Sunday Services, Noah's Ark, Worship, Hospitality, SB Youth, Yahweh, Spin Service and Activities, and all the meetings. Let's pray. Let's cover them. Holy Spirit. Let's pray for the house churches that are meeting, I think, today. So Fortress, House to House, Mawan, Southside, Tavistock, and Westside. Let's pray for His presence and, let's pray. So, Father, we thank You. Thank You for this morning. Thank You for this opportunity for us to remember the suffering and the death and the resurrection of Jesus during the Lent period. Lord, give us more faith. Faith in Your goodness and understanding of Your faithfulness and steadfast love and Your goodness. And even if we do not understand fully many things, but they will have faith in You and trust in You. And God, give us perseverance that is needed. In this season, Father God, especially in this season, I ask You to give us perseverance that is needed. Perseverance that is necessary, God, for us, O Lord. individually and corporately as a body, give us perseverance that we need in this season, God. Perseverance so that we may not give up until we encounter you, Jesus. Not pray through until 90% and stop. But God, praying through until we encounter you, Jesus. And it is impossible to do that without hope and without faith and trust in your goodness. So Lord God, give us such anticipation, such supernatural faith to expect and to anticipate and to really hope for your glory and your answers, God. And that we will glorify you, Lord, as we persevere and pray to you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.